Good morning and welcome to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville on this August 2nd Sunday as we live stream our worship service this morning. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan. I'll be leading worship today. We have Lynn Meyer providing us music on the organ. This morning, Earl Linhart will be singing a hymn for us. Heather Hicks will be assisting with the service as well. And we have Valerie Hildreth with the flute this morning. We thank all of them to be part of the service. Following the service this morning, a couple minutes after we finish the service, Heather will give the Especially for Children. The flowers today are given by Kay Mackin in honor of her church family. Reminder that today we have a picnic out on the church lawn at 5:30 p.m. Everyone is invited to come, sit in the proper circle, wear masks and socially distance as appropriate. You need to bring all your items for a picnic, including food, beverage, blankets, chairs, all those things. The church will be open for restroom facilities, however. Since there is a chance of rain today, I will send out an email message this afternoon if we need to cancel, and if we do, we'll postpone it till next Sunday. Speaking of eating, our Dine Out group will dine in again this month, grab a meal at home, and then join us for a Zoom gathering time with your friends. Contact Bob Place or the church office for more information. Our Sunday adult library class has resumed meeting this month, but they meet on Mondays at 3 p.m. Via Zoom video conferencing, and you can contact Tom Gennard at the church office for more information. And we continue with our Shelter in Place Bible studies. These are three sections covering the same material each week. We have a session on Tuesday morning, Wednesday evening, and Thursday afternoon, and you can get the link to those by calling me or the church office. We are studying the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. And now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Thank you. Let us be called to worship this morning. We have been called to walk the faithful road and to choose the way of God's love. We are here because we strongly believe that God is good and that we live that goodness. We have come together this day to affirm our faith and to seek God's direction for our faith journey. We shall share with others the goodness we have found in God. May this worship be an expression of that goodness. Let us worship God together. Let us pray. O God, our joy and comfort, we gather in your name. We give thanks for the gifts of this day. Our spirits abound with the gift of your joy. Of all the many things we have received from your hand, the flame of joy is the most precious. We have also come to this hour of worship, bearing in our hearts the sorrows of our world. Comfort us with your presence, that we may be strengthened to continue to proclaim your goodness and deliverance in all the earth, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 Amen.
We have two readings for today, an epistle reading and gospel reading. I will be reading from the epistles, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 through 18. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me, and woe betide me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. And from the Gospel of Mark, the second chapter, the first through the 12th verse. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up, take your mat, and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go home.' And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The word of the God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for these readings from our Holy Scriptures. Now, as we reflect upon them, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be found blessed in your sight. Amen. Back when I was in seminary, one of my seminary classmates told a story about when he was in college. And when he was in college, he had gotten involved with the campus ministry there. It was one of those evangelical ministries that was very good at getting young people to share the good news about Jesus Christ to others. My classmate Mike was one of those the group recruited, and he said that he became one of the best at going out and telling other students on campus all about Jesus. In fact, he would use any opportunity he could find to tell people about Jesus. It was before class, after class, even during class, if he could get away with it. He talked to other students in their dorm rooms, on the quad, in the cafeteria, anywhere and any time. He said he was zealous for the Lord. As he got older, he moved his evangelism efforts from the campus to the nearby mall. He did the same thing at the mall, stopping people as they were walking from store to store to ask them if they knew about Jesus. Now, what was tolerated on campus was not tolerated quite so much at the mall. It seems that the businessmen and women at the mall did not particularly care for their customers, in their eyes, being harassed by the street preacher in the mall. And so they asked him to leave, and when he didn't leave, these business people called the police. And the police asked him to leave, and he said he wouldn't. That's how compelled he was to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. He resisted their efforts to get him to leave, so the police did what they had to do. They handcuffed him and put him back in the back seat of the squad car. But Mike was not deterred. As the police were driving him to the police station, Mike decided that his arrest was another opportunity. And so he leaned forward and gently said to the two officers in the front seats, "Tell me, good sirs, do you know Jesus?" I thought of this story this week when I read the scripture from 1 Corinthians. I think Paul would have understood Mike's compulsion to share the gospel. I have been pondering the gospel and the church these past several weeks, really several months. Back in March, our world was turned upside down when the pandemic hit and everything was locked down. Now, after 5 months, we are coming to realize that getting out of this quagmire may not be easy, and it certainly will not be fast. The virus seems to find every weakness in our society and quickly exploits it. And now it is becoming clear to us that we will be struggling for quite a while and may never get back to what we consider normal. In fact, we jokingly talk about the new normal, although I like what a writer in the paper called the new abnormal, for certainly that's what it feels like. The question that has been stirring through my mind these last weeks and months is what is the role and function of the church and we as Christians as we enter into the new abnormal? As I pondered that question, I realized that the place to start is with the historic functions of the church, particularly the Presbyterian Church. Embedded in the constitution of the Presbyterian Church, which we call the Book of Order, is the mission statement of the church, known as the six great ends of the church. For over 100 years, these concise but loaded statements have served to give direction to the denomination and to individual churches. As written in our Constitution, the great ends of the church are as follows: the proclamation of the gospel for the salvation of humankind, the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God, the maintenance of divine worship, the preservation of the truth, the promotion of social righteousness, the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world. As Presbyterian theologian Joseph Small, who was also a pastor at this church years ago, as he wrote, with an economy of words and a surplus of meaning, the church has six great aims to direct our life together. Six basic works of the church that are fundamental to who the church is and what the church is called to do. So it seems to me that as we enter this new abnormal, we need to once again determine who the church is and what the church is called to do. And I thought that I would niggle that discussion along by preaching each of the next 6 weeks on the great ends of the church, beginning with the first one, the proclamation of the gospel for the salvation of humankind. Have you ever been so excited about something that you had to tell someone about it? Maybe you got a promotion at work, maybe you bowled a 300 game, maybe you caught that giant fish that had eluded you time after time. Maybe you sat down and wrote a book. Or maybe you just finished the crossword puzzle. I have seen such excitement that people have when they have accomplished something that they've had to tell somebody about. I've seen my grandson get so excited when he accomplishes something new in life that he almost shakes with excitement. I hope everyone has had something that has happened to them that is so exciting that they just had to tell someone else. When I was growing up, I was blessed with an early growth spurt. When I was in eighth grade, I shot up from 5 feet to my current height of 5'9", and for a brief while, I was taller than all the other boys in my class. And what do tall boys do? They go play basketball. So my freshman year in high school, I went and tried out for the basketball team. Now, I was never very good at basketball, and soon I discovered that I wasn't going to get any taller. But I stuck on that team that my freshman year. Now, what does every good basketball player need? A good basketball player needs a good pair of shoes. So over Thanksgiving break, before we started our first game, but after we had had a few weeks of practices, I went out and used my allowance money and bought a new pair of Converse All-Star basketball shoes. They were my pride and joy. I wore them everywhere, even to bed. And I knew that I had to tell my friends all about it even before we got back to school that Monday. And so I trudged to the nearest basketball players' houses on that Saturday of Thanksgiving holiday just to show off my new shoes. And maybe that's how Mike felt when he was given the opportunity to tell people about Jesus. I do think it was how Paul felt when he wrote his letters and went about the Mediterranean world preaching about Jesus. He felt he had something that was so exciting that he had to tell others. When we read the words of the first great ends of the church, We read big and loaded words, proclamation, gospel, salvation, words that theologians have parsed for centuries. But when it comes right down to it, all it really means is that we are to tell the life-changing story of Jesus. And we are to tell that story in any way we can, any way that we are gifted to do. Certainly some of us are gifted to preach those words from the pulpit. But all of us have an opportunity to share that story with someone else. We can teach it to our children. We can discuss it with our elders. We can whisper it to a loved one. We can share it in the coffee shop or in a letter. We can text it to a friend or even tell it to a stranger. We can speak of it in the hospital room, and we can remember it in the funeral home. The stories of our faith, the stories of Jesus for us. And so the question in this time of pandemic is, what are our stories about Jesus? Where are the places that Jesus has touched your life, my life, our life? And how did that story, how did that intersection with Jesus change us? Some of us have great and wonderful conversion stories, ones that are written about in great books, shared as testimonials in front of the church. But for many of us, that story is much simpler. The story comes when we are grieving a loss and a friend shows up and holds our hand and maybe reads a passage from the Psalms. And we realize when they've left that Jesus was in the room with us. Or maybe that story comes when you're at work and given an opportunity to make a difference, not just for the company, but for the community. And somebody challenges you and says, "Are you willing to make that difference?" And you realize that it is not just the person talking to you, it's Jesus talking to you. That maybe the work you do can also be the work that Christ does in the community. In the midst of the pandemic, in all this time of separation, we are finding new and creative ways to connect with each other. And in that process, we are also called to proclaim the gospel for the good and the salvation of everyone. The pandemic is full of stories of good news. We get a hint of them in amongst all the stories of hard news. Take the story of the church, for example. We are all struggling with this. Live stream services, Zoom meetings, phone calls instead of in-person connections. It doesn't seem like church to us, and we're trying to figure out what it is. But I did hear a story about a man who is a quadriplegic, who was a member of a church, but because of his infirmities, never went to church, never attended worship, never was part of any activity of the church until the pandemic came along. And his church started videotaping and broadcasting their services. He could participate in worship. And then the church started having Bible studies and gatherings by Zoom, and he could do Zoom. And soon he was part of every group that was meeting in the church. He is one young man who is actually thankful for the pandemic, for it's opened up the church for him. And you see, that's what this pandemic gives for us, an opportunity to see where new opportunities, new ministries, new ways of sharing the story are out there. And they're out there. We just have to go discover them. Amen.
O Word of God incarnate, O wisdom from on high, O truth unchanged, unchanging, O light of our dark sky. We praise you for the radiance that from the hallowed page, amid the rocks and quicksand, still guides, O Christ, to you. The church from you, dear Savior, receive this gift divine, and still that light is lifted on all the earth to shine. It is the chart and compass that all life's voyage through, amid the rocks and quicksands, still guides, O Christ, to you. Oh, make your church, dear Savior, a lamp of purest gold, to bear before the nations your true light as of old. Oh, teach your wandering pilgrims by this our path to trace, till clouds and storms descended, we see you face to face.
We come together in prayer, and as we do, we lift up those with particular prayer concerns each Sunday. Lane Huff's cousin in Florida, who has COVID-19, is getting better, he tells us. But on the sad side, his cousin's wife died on Thursday as a result of the COVID virus. Peg Duffy has asked for prayers for a friend of hers, Bob Rule, who is having surgery on Tuesday. Elaine Russell's father is under hospice care. Adele Wright asked for prayers for her father, who is suffering from cancer. Marjorie Beveridge's residence facility has had an outbreak of COVID-19, but they have finished their quarantine period without anyone else getting ill, and everyone seems to have recuperated, and so that is good news. Mary Bricker asked for prayers for her father, who is home from the hospital but continues to have health problems. Bob Smith is under hospice care, and we keep him in our prayers as well. Eric Fredrickson will have a bone marrow biopsy this week, and asked for prayers for the procedure and the results. Dave Cameron is home from the hospital, but he will be headed back to OSU for a procedure this week. And Sue Zust asks for prayers for her sister-in-law, Geraldine, who is at OSU hospitals with serious health concerns. Let us pray. We are on a journey, Lord, but we don't know where we are going. The road ahead is sheathed in fog. We cannot see what dangers and perils are there in front of us. Will we hit a wall? Is there a cliff we cannot see? We cannot be sure where the road leads. Walk with us, Lord. Take our hands and guide our steps. Show us the way through the fog of these times. Shine the light of your word on the path before us so that even if we can't see the next bend, we can at least see the next step. Give us confidence to take that step, to move forward, to meet the future and to claim it. Remind us that with you guiding us, we can do it. On this morning, we pray for everyone who is on this journey with us, for the confident and the overeager, for the uncertain and the fearful, for those who take the lead and for those who follow faithfully, for those whose strength is waning and for those who cannot make the journey and for those who love them. We pray for all. We are all on this journey to the future, and we need your help. We pray particularly for those we have mentioned this morning, those whose names I have read, those whose names that are spoken in the homes throughout our fellowship, those whose names that are spoken only in our hearts. By your Spirit, we ask that you comfort the grieving, heal the sick, befriend the lonely, forgive the sinner, encourage the downtrodden, find the lost, guide the seekers, reconcile the broken, reassure the hopeless. We ask all these prayers, O Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
The good news of Jesus Christ, and we have been charged to deliver it. In any way that you find, share the good news of Jesus Christ, and as you do, know that the Spirit of God goes with you this day and every day. Amen.